Roadblocks to Healing. We started in it last week. And the text for the whole series is in Matthew chapter 13, and we'll begin there. In Matthew 13, and starting at the 15th verse. And Jesus is speaking to them. This is really in the middle of a longer discourse that he's made, but we're going to pick up a particular thought he's sharing with them right here. And he says, Matthew 13, beginning at verse 15, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." So he talks about what you hear, what you see, what you understand. He said, what you need to do is be converted. And he said, and I'll heal you. And just a brief review from last week. We read that scripture last week, and I told you that word converted means to turn to or to turn toward. And the C-O-N prefix on it indicates that there's two or more involved in it. And so really what he's talking about here, this kind of conversion we're talking about, is to turn your seeing and your hearing and your understanding to get it in line with God. Because, see, God is truth, and so the way God says it is the way it is. And if as long as you're crossways with God and with his word, you're never going to be in a position to receive any kind of blessings from God. You have to get your thinking, your believing, your understanding, and what you see and hear, you have to line it up with the word of God. Now, sometimes what you see with your eye doesn't appear to line up with the word of God. But I tell you, it does anyway, because what he said is truth. Sometimes the facts don't always agree with the truth. But you know what? The truth will always prevail over the facts. And what God said is the truth. And sometimes what you hear doesn't always line up with the word of God. I mean, you got a little box sitting in your house over there, turn the knob on that thing, about 99% of what you hear don't line up with the word of God. But you got to get what you're perceiving and line it up with God's word instead of what necessarily what you're hearing or seeing, and then you're understanding in line with the word of God. And he said, now you're getting in a position to get healed. And he calls that being converted. And then I'll just remind you of Hebrews 11 and 6 that says that without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that would come to God must believe, number one, that he is, and number two, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you want to receive from God, if you want to please God with your faith, there are some things you must believe. You can't just believe any old thing you want to. You know, some people believe that all kind of strange things. Well, believing all kind of strange things won't manifest anything in your life but strange things. But if you want to live in the blessings of God, you have to believe what the Word says. And wrong living, we're talking about roadblocks to healing. Wrong living can be a roadblock to healing, but more often it's wrong believing instead of wrong living. Now, wrong living can be a problem too. We talked about two roadblocks last week. The first one was God sends sickness upon people. That's a roadblock to healing. People that believe that are believing wrong. It doesn't agree with the Word of God. Read through the four Gospels, you'll never find one situation that Jesus ever made anybody sick. He said, I have come to do the will of the Father. We never see Jesus making anybody sick. And then a roadblock number two, my healing may not be God's will. You hear this so often, and people try to alibi for God, and they base God's will on experience and what somebody told them instead of basing it on the Word of God. The Word of God says, Beloved, I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The word of God, which is the will of God, says believers lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It says elders of the church anoint the sick with oil and a prayer of faith to save the sick and the Lord to raise them up. The word of God says, the will of God says, I am Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. The word of God says, by his stripes you were healed. And so If you go by, if you lie, see, you have to be converted. You have to get your seeing, your hearing, your understanding in line with the Word of God instead of in line with experience or what somebody told you or tradition or anything like that. That's being converted and getting your thinking in line with God's Word. Now, I know it's hard sometimes when you've heard it different all your life. But that's what a conversion is all about. That doesn't mean you're lost and you need to get saved just because you don't agree with the Word of God on some particular topic. But it means you're never going to reap the blessings in that area until you get your thinking and believing and understanding in line with God. Now, you know, when I taught these two roadblocks last week, God sends sickness upon people and my healing may not be God's will. I think a lot of you got something out of it, but I saw some drowsy looking folks out there too, and I think part of it, as I thought over it later, I know some of it was you've been working hard and you're tired, but I think too some people, they'd hear me give the roadblock and then they'd say, oh, I know better than that. And that's all you needed to hear. You already knew that it was God's will to heal, and you already knew He didn't send sickness on people, so it was old news to you. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to hear this over and over, because these thoughts can creep in your mind and begin to operate in you even when you know better. And we have to focus on God's will, that it's God's will to heal us. Every time sickness comes against you, you need to focus your attention on the fact that it is God's will for me to be well, not sick. Now, that's one reason I won't take sick without fighting. Sometimes I get sick, not too much, but once in a while I get a little sick. But I won't take it without fighting, because I know, I focus my attention on the fact that this is not God's will that's going on in my body right now. Right now, the devil's prevailing, if it's any spiritual force. Of course, sometimes I brought it on myself. I'll deal with that a little bit in just a minute. But you need to focus on God's will to heal you. There's a scripture, I'll just give you this one, James 4 and 7. You know it says, we heard it preached on Sunday night so well. It says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, if you know that God didn't send the sickness on you and you know it's His will to heal you, then you'll fight it. But if some reason you get to thinking, well, maybe God wants me to have this after all, or maybe God really doesn't want to heal me, even if you know better, and you know it in your head, but what's going on in your spirit, man, right now is not just right. If you let that thinking creep in, you won't really do battle with it. You'll just lay back and take it. Now, I know particularly when I was working at a secular job, and it'd be sometimes that in the evening that I'd start feeling bad. And maybe it's just some little old thing trying to, attack your body every once in a while. And I'd get to thinking, well, if I think I'm going to be sick tomorrow. I don't think I'm going to be real sick, just a little bit sick. Just too sick to go to work. And so I can just lay up in the bed and catch up on my reading and watch Kenneth Copeland and Brother Gould and 700 Club and have me a glorious day just laying up here being sick. But then I remember that sick is not God's will for me. And I'm not going to take a day off because I let the devil have the upper hand. Now listen, if I was sick enough, I wouldn't go to work. Don't be foolish. Don't go to work when you got the flu and give it to everybody else you know. But I'm not talking about whether or not you go to work. I'm talking about don't just lay down and take it. That's what I'm talking about. And if you understand that it's not God, that it is God's will for you to be healed, then He's not the one that put it on you, then you'll submit to God and resist the devil. And what did the Bible say the devil will do? He'll flee from you. So I forget what all them words Pastor Raymond said the other night. Something about he'll just run like a scared rabbit is what it amounted to, wasn't it? Run as in terror. And I think that's what the Amplified says about that. Now, some of these scriptures are so familiar, I'm just not going to have you look them all up. I'll just act like I'm preaching a little bit here. But in John 10 and 10, it says, Jesus said, the thief's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you might have what? Life, and have it more abundantly. That word life in the Greek is zoe, Z-O-E, and it includes living in divine health. That's the abundant life, or divine life, we might say. Life like God has it. Life with no sickness in it. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. Now, do you think that John 10:10, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, would that apply to a baby still in the womb? How many believe it would? So therefore, if there's a baby still in the womb It must be God's will for that baby to have life and to be born and have a life. And I think just about anybody that goes to church has an understanding about that. Now, some people have decided that it might not even be God's will for that baby to live. But we know better than that. But so if it's God's will, so if we got a pregnant mother and there's some problems with the pregnancy and they think maybe there's something wrong with the baby, I tell you, it's not hard at all to get folks to agree and to pray, say, let's pray, praise God, and we believe God's going to heal this baby. Because people, I've hardly ever heard anybody say in a case like that, well, you never know, it might not be God's will to heal this baby. Well, what about if the baby's born and in here the baby's 2 years old? You reckon it's God's will for that baby to be healthy? Well, what about if the baby grows a little more and not a baby anymore and it gets to be 10 years old? Well, it's still God's will for it to be healthy. What about when it's 20 years old? What about when it's 40 years old? What about when it's 60 years old? God's will hadn't changed toward that child from when it was in the mother's womb. He still desires, he's come that it might have life and that it might have it more abundantly. Well, what about when I think I got up to 60. What about when it gets to 70 and on beyond there? Well, thank God the Word of God tells us in Psalm 90 and verse 10, it says that the days of man shall be 60, that's 60, and 10, that's 70. 60 and 10. The days of man shall be 70 years, but if by reason of strength, it might be 80, which is 80 years. So there's 80 years God has told us it ought to be at least a normal lifespan. That's in Psalm 90 and verse 10. But then thank God over there just a few verses later, I read it to you in the opening of the service in Psalm 92 in the last verse. He said, he will satisfy you with long life, right? Now some people get to be 80, they're not satisfied yet. So God's will for us to have life and to have health just goes right on. Now it is appointed to man once to die, and after that the judgment, and there comes a point when it's time to go on. He'll satisfy you with long life. Sometimes you know when that is. You know, most folks that get satisfied with long life is because their body gets all wore out and sick. But there's people even just that stay healthy and just get tired of hanging around. Everybody they know's gone on and the world's changed so much, and they say, well, God, I'm ready to go on now. And that's the kind that like to just sit down in the rocking chair or kick back in the recliner and just speak in tongues for a few minutes and then just take their flight to glory. That's really the best way to go, I think. Sometimes you try to tell people, well, it's God's will to heal everybody. They say, well, how's anybody ever going to die? You don't have to get sick. You know, you don't have to get sick. You die when your spirit goes to heaven. And that's the life force in your body. Your body has no choice but to lay down when that happens. It's just like this coat I got on. I'm the life in it. And if I take it off, if I get out of it, coat can't do nothing. It's got no choice but to lay down, and that's all my body is just my earth suit. When the real me leaves, old body's gonna lay down. And there comes a time for that. But if it's God's, then people ask. I'm kind of I reviewed, and I'm dealing with some things that came up in my mind, and some of them was things people asked me about these first two roadblocks. There's a question comes up often: if it's God's will to heal everybody, then why isn't everybody healed? I mean, they say it can't be God's will to heal everybody because everybody's not healed. You ever heard that? Well, let me remind you of 2 Peter 3 and 9. It says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me ask you this. Is it God's will to save everybody?
Yes.
Does everybody get saved? Then God's will does not get done on this earth. It is God's will that every single individual be saved. Everybody that goes to hell went there against the will of God. And we know that everybody's not going to get saved. Well, already there's a lot of folks already died, didn't get saved. But even when Jesus comes and to the end of time, we know there's going to be people that are not saved because the Bible talks about separating the wheat from the chaff and separating the sheep from the goats. And so the fact that everybody doesn't get healed has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not that's God's will, because if that were true, then God willing that everybody be saved would guarantee that everybody got saved, and it just doesn't happen. See, the thinking that makes people think this is they believe that if it was God's will to heal folks, he'd just heal them. Well, if that was true, if it was God's will to save folks, he'd just save them. I mean, getting saved is more important than getting healed, isn't it? Well, if God, but see, God gave you a free will. And he said that without faith, it's impossible to please me, because if you want to come to me, you have to believe that I am, and you have to believe that I'm a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. I'll tell you, in case you hadn't caught on, I'm firmly convinced it's God's will to heal. Let's look at Psalm 107. I've mostly been preaching scriptures at you, but let's look at Psalm 107. And at verse 20. Psalm 107 and verse 20. And it says, this scripture will be quite familiar to you when you see it. Many of you already know what it says before you even find it in your Bible. I'm going to look at a couple of other verses to go with it right here, so it's good to turn to it even if you know it. It says in Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Now, how can the word heal you? Well, because the Proverbs 4 and 22 says the word of God is life to those that find it and health or medicine to all your flesh, right? And Jesus said in John 6 and 63 that the flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that gives life, and the words that I have spoken unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I tell you, healing is in the word. And he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. Now that says them, and I'll tell you what, if you want to get to the point that you're going to be healed, you have to decide that you're one of them. He sent his word and healed them. You have to believe that it's God's will to heal you. Some people would say, well, I know it's God's will to heal me. See, this goes back to what I said. These old thoughts can start creeping in your mind, and you can start finding reasons that even though you know it's God's will to heal everybody, he probably don't want to heal you, or probably not going to. And people will say, well, I know it's God's will to heal me, but you see, I have this condition because I smoked when I was younger, or because I lived on cheeseburgers and French fries. I just saw that this week, that when you're a kid, if you eat a lot of fat and you eat a lot of burgers and fries and all that, that it starts a process that you even have to live with later on in life. I'll tell you what, if cheeseburgers had key, there wouldn't none of us live this long. Now, they're not good for you a lot of times. Too many of them's not good for you. But see, people, and then sometimes, you know, somebody asked me this week after last week about some family members that were sick and needed prayer. And they said, but you know, this person has smoked about all their life, and that's the cause of this condition. And I really can't get faith to pray for them because they brought it on themselves. You know, sickness is a result of sin. That doesn't mean, well, you're sick, therefore you sin. But sickness is a result of sin being in the earth. So whatever you got, it got here through sin. But sometimes you get to thinking about your own self. Well, I know God wants to heal me, but you see, I got sugar problems, and I know God's not going to do anything about that because I didn't eat right. Well, listen, it's never too late to repent. But the good thing is, right here where it says in Psalm 107, verse 20, it sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let's go back and see who them is that he's talking about. And we go back to verse 17. And it says, fools. Anybody want to plead guilty? It says, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities are afflicted. In other words, these sick folks we're talking about, they brought it on themselves. They is foolish. Now, I tell you, some of you have been foolish in your past. You have done things to your body that, dear Lord, it's amazing you're alive. I mean, there are some things that you have eaten. There are some things that you have drank. And there are some things you have smoked, and there's some things you have injected into your body, some of you, that it's amazing you're alive. It says here, fools. And some of you are still living with some of the consequences of it. And it says, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. I mean, these folks about dead. Verse 19, thank God for verse 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses, and he sends his word to heal them and deliver them from their destruction. I want you to know that scripture in Psalm 107 verse 20 is talking about foolish people that did stupid things and brought the bad health on themselves. And it says, but then they cried unto the Lord. You know, the word of God says in Jeremiah 33:3, that's Jesus' telephone number. He said, call upon me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of, right? Amen. So listen, even if we brought it on ourselves by not looking after ourselves properly, doing stupid things, living the wrong kind of life, there's still help. There's still healing. God still desires healing. But now, listen, don't keep on smoking and living on cheeseburgers. I mean, you need to eat a good balanced diet and get the proper things. And listen, your body needs a certain amount of fat, but it probably don't need near as much as you've been giving it. And you need to look after yourself. See, once you get a knowledge, once you get an understanding, don't just keep on. You know, it's kind of like, I'll tell you, you think about when we get saved. The Bible says that you are saved, and you know that word saved in the Greek is sozo, S-O-Z-O, an exact same word that means saved also means healed. Some of you have heard that a couple thousand times, but there's always folks coming in never have heard it, so I say it over and over again. Same word that means saved also means healed, sozo. By grace are you sozo, saved or healed, through what? Through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. So your salvation is by grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. You didn't do it. You didn't deserve it. He gave it to you anyway. Now, and it's not by works. But you know, God, in the beginning, God instituted a plan whereby people could be saved and be right with Him and be righteous, be in right standing with God. And the plan was, here's the law. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not do the other thing. And then all these ceremonial laws of all this religious stuff you got to do and everything you can't do and everything you have to do. And God says, if you want to please me, just do this. And you know what? There had never been but one man lived on the face of this earth that was able to accomplish it. And that was Jesus, right? Everybody else, we've been studying the book of Romans, we find out that the law was given to convict us of sin so we'd know that we have a need for a Savior. But see, God gave us a plan and said, if you'll do it perfectly, then you'll be fine, no problem. But nobody was able to do it, so He had to save us by His grace through our faith. But you know, in spite of that, now once we get saved, in fact, I'm going to have to be sure and point it out to my Sunday school class. I'll go ahead and tell some of y'all because you're in there. But you know, we see in Romans chapter 1, 18 through chapter 3, verse 20, He convicts us of sin. Then starting in chapter 3 and 21, He begins to tell us about the solution, which is Jesus, the Savior. And so, but that's not even the end of the story, because then in the last few chapters of the book of Romans, He says, now that you are saved, here's how you're supposed to live the Christian life. So see, the fact that God saved, we weren't able to fulfill all the law, and God saved us in spite of that by His grace. That doesn't make, Paul said, what are we going to do then? Go on sinning? He said, God forbid. Once you get saved by God's grace, then you've got a new power in you now, and you're going to try. You're still not going to live a perfect life. You're going to miss it some days. You're going to mess up. But that's not going to send you to hell, and it doesn't mean you backslid. It means you're human. But you're going to do your utmost to do the best job you can to live in the Christian life and living right before God because of what He has done for you. And if you just intentionally go out and just keep on living a life of sin, I'll tell you what, God's not going to put up with it. God gives you His grace to accomplish what you're not able to do. He empowers you by His grace to do what you are able to do. All right, now, so take that back over to being healed and take that back over to what you've been eating and what you've been smoking and what you've been drinking and all that stuff. And you see, God put a plan in the Bible how you can be healthy. He said, don't eat none of this, don't eat none of that, you know, do this, do that. I mean, it's all in here. You pick up a lot of books on the newsstand that tell you about all that stuff, but unfortunately, most of them are kind of, you know, pointed in the wrong direction. Now, you go back to all the laws about how to be right with God and how to get saved. There was a lot of confusion about them. That's why one reason why people couldn't seem to get it right, because they'd read the law, and whoever was presenting the law would come at it from a certain angle and forget about all these other ramifications over here, and people would get out here on a wild goose chase running after this thing, and they'd forget all the rest of it. And you know, the Word of God says if you violate even how much of the law? One point of it, you're guilty of the whole thing. And so, you know, somebody said, well, you can't do no work on the Sabbath. And so you got this whole bunch. That's what they worried about. Boy, anybody that's doing work on the Sabbath, they on their trail, man. They're going to straighten them out. And then here comes Jesus, the Son of God, God himself in the flesh, saw a sick man sitting in church. He said, be healed. And they all jumped on him and said, you working on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. See, they didn't understand the law. They thought they did. Well, then you get over here in the natural area and you talk about healing. And so that we got all these laws. Well, if you don't do this, some of them God gave and some of them man made. You know, you got the fat posse. That they waiting to jump on anything that's got fat in it. I rebuke you, you got fat in you. Well, your body needs a little bit, but like I said, it don't need near as much as you're getting. So then the fat police told us for years, man, if you eat an egg, you're going to die before morning. Well, then here just a couple of months ago, they come out with a new medical report that said, you know, everybody needs 2 eggs a week to get your vitamin E, because you can't really get it from supplements, and that's the best source to get it. And vitamin E is one of the greatest things that lubricates your blood vessels and keeps that cholesterol sliding on through and not clogging up. So here you've been doing without eggs because somebody told you it's good for you. Now they said, no, you don't want to do that. Then I go to the doctor and my blood pressure is a little high, so he gives me this medicine to take for the blood pressure. Well, then the next time I go back, they check my blood and he said, your triglycerides are too high. And so then I look at a magazine the other day and I'm reading along and it says this exact medicine he gave me causes your triglyceride to be elevated. I'm telling you, you can do everything you know to do. I mean, so, you know, You study all these books and you read what all these experts say about doing this and what they, you know, a lot of them diets you read are just about losing weight and have nothing to do with nutrition anyway. You can get skinny, but you ain't well. Okay, I'd rather be well and just, you know, kind of normal looking. But it's just like the law. It's just like trying to live by the law. You're trying to do all, you're reading all about fat and you're reading about cholesterol and you're reading about the vitamins and the minerals and you're chasing yourself around crazy trying to do all this stuff. And then you die of something else over here. That what you were doing over there caused. It was a side effect you didn't even know about. Now, the reason I'm telling you all this and comparing it to living by the law is because you do the best you can. But you're going to have to learn to be living health, honey, by the grace of God. Amen. And through faith. By grace are you healed. Through faith. But now once you get that, what are you going to do about eating right and exercising and drinking your water and getting your rest? You're going to do the best job you know how to do. But at the same time, you're going to have to trust God. Because he's the healer. Now, when you get over, and that's going to lead me into what my next roadblock was. I've still been reviewing about 1 and 2, because the next one was Hezekiah used a poultice. And the subtitle was, I know God heals, but he just works through doctors and medicine. Now, let me tell you before I even start into this that I believe in doctors and medicine, and I thank God for them. And I just went to see one last week because I was having some difficulty, and he gave me some little pills, and they helped me, and I'm thankful for that. But I'll tell you what, my confidence wasn't in that. I knew that he could do something about relieving the symptoms till we could get things straightened out. And you say, well, you're preaching one thing and living something else. No, I'm trying to be honest with you. There's nothing wrong with you taking a pill. If you got a headache, there's nothing wrong with you taking an aspirin or Tylenol or whatever. But I'll tell you something else, it's also a real good opportunity for us to learn to practice our faith for when something bigger comes along. Now, there's no point in just suffering needlessly if you know you can take this little thing and help you, but sometimes if you'll just tough it out a little while, you'll find out that your faith will kick in, that grace of God will go to work. And I think sometimes God gives us godly wisdom about certain things we need to put in our body. I mean, you know, what you eat's important. Well, if somebody puts it in a capsule form and you hadn't been getting, your body hadn't been getting a certain thing and you're short of it, and that's what's causing the problem, and you find out that's what's causing the problem, well, just stick a little in. But the problem is where your confidence, where your trust, and where your faith gets to be. So I want you to keep this in balance as I talk about it. And you can turn to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah 38. And once again, I remind you that we're not talking about there's something wrong with going to the doctors and medicine, because there is not. But when that gets to be such a stronghold in your life that that's where all your confidence is for healing, then I think one time the Lord gave me a statement that kind of sums it up. When you've got too much going for you in the natural, it's hard to believe for the supernatural. When you're doing too much in the natural, it's hard to believe for the supernatural. And too much confidence confidence in medicine can block your faith in God's supernatural ability to heal you. In Isaiah 38 and the first five verses to start with, it says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Now, I did know just exactly the ages of Hezekiah, and we could look up some corresponding scriptures. I think that he was 25 at this time. I believe he lived to be 40 with his extra 15 years. And he said, "Set thine house in order, and thou shalt die and not live. For thou shalt die and not live." So the word Hezekiah has sent, God sent Hezekiah the prophet to tell, Isaiah the prophet to tell Hezekiah the king to get his house in order, because he's about to die. And then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord. And he said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. What does that word sore? Let's see. He said he wept with great weeping. Verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayers, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. He said, "I'll give you 15 more years." Well, 15 years don't sound like much, but it's better than a day. And then we look over all the way over to verse 21, because I'm not going to go through all this because we don't have time. But in verse 21 it says, "For Isaiah had said," this is when he prescribes, "For Isaiah had said, Let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover." So we saw what God said to Isaiah. God said to Isaiah in verse 5, "Go say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Isaiah then told Hezekiah and told the people around him to get a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Now, what actually was wrong with Hezekiah was that he had carbuncles. And as we read this, there's no record here anywhere that God said anything to Isaiah about making that fig poultice. It seems like that was Isaiah's idea, because God said, "Go tell him, I said he's going to live 15 more years." Isaiah said to him, "Put a plaster of figs on this thing and you'll be well." Now, I believe that, I don't think Isaiah was out of order. He was using his prerogative as a minister, and he was giving him a point of contact is all that was. You see, some people go back to this scripture and said, "Well, see there, God wants you to use medicine because he had Hezekiah use a poultice of figs." Now, a carbuncle is like a boil, but it is more serious, and they have a tendency to spread. And figs have no medicinal value over the poison in a carbuncle. Now, how many of you, it's just like a boil, only it's worse. Anybody here, maybe when you were a child even, You ever been to the doctor with a boil? Anybody? All right. How many of you did the doctor tell you to put a plaster of figs on it? No, because figs have nothing to do with healing boils. Don't now, never did. All it was a point of contact. Now, I want you to look in Matthew chapter 8, and then we'll tie that into what we're reading right here in this scripture. In Matthew chapter 8, and starting at verse 5, it says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." The centurion was willing to receive the healing based on the word only. Lord, speak the word only. You don't even have to come to the house. You don't have to put your hands on him. You don't have to anoint him. God, you say the word. He said, because I understand how authority works. And if you say the word, it's going to happen. Well, you know, Jesus said to me and you, have faith in God, that if you shall say unto this mountain, right? Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt, but believe in your heart that those things which you say shall come to pass, you'll have what you say. So this man was willing to just base his faith on just the spoken word, that it was going to do the job. Now, I take you back in your thoughts, back to Isaiah 38, where Isaiah said, God said to Hezekiah, he said, "I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. That was all Hezekiah needed right there. The Bible says you call upon the Lord and he sends his figs. You call upon the Lord and he sends his word and heals you and delivers you from some of your destructions, all of them. So when God said that to Hezekiah, the healing was assured right there. That was all he needed. That word of God was the healing power. The healing wasn't in the figs. The healing was in the word. But now listen, God uses a point of contact because it's something that we can establish our faith on. And so the figs, that's exactly what the figs were. They were a point of contact, just like when Naaman the Syrian was told, go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. There was no healing power in the Jordan River. In fact, it was full of pollution. You're more likely to get sick in the Jordan River than you were to get healed, just in the natural. It was simply a point of contact. It was somewhere to act. It was an act of faith so that God could release the power. And the figs were like when Jesus said to a couple of people, take up your bed and walk. I'll tell you what, when you've been over and been sick in the bed with the palsy, I mean, there's no healing power in carrying your bed. That'll make you worse. But why did Jesus tell the man to do it? It was a point of contact to release his faith, to demonstrate his faith, and so that God could move. And the fig plaster was a point of contact, just like when Jesus spit in the dirt and mixed up some mud and put it in a blind man's eyes. You mean to tell me spit and dirt will heal blindness? Hadn't got a thing to do with it. It's just a point of contact. It's something that your 5 senses can make contact with, that you can hang your faith on. And I'll tell you, something we do around here all the time is the same way, and that's anointing the sick with oil. There's no healing power in that little bottle of oil down there. But I'll tell you what, if you'd take that little dab of oil that's been used out of that bottle over the last few months, and you'd add up all the healings that have come out of that little bottle. I mean, I went to the drugstore, and the doctor gave me a prescription, and I got 30 pills, and the insurance helped pay some of it, supposed to have, and it cost me $31, and it didn't even really do that much good. But imagine what the value of what that little dab of oil that came out of that bottle there. But the fact is, there's no healing power in the oil. It's in your faith and God's grace, and that's just a point of contact to hook the two of them together. Now, if you look in 2 Chronicles, back in the Old Testament again, in 2 Chronicles, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, I'm finding it at the same time you are, chapter 16, 2nd Chronicles, chapter 16, 2nd Chronicles, chapter 16, starting at verse 12, it's by a king, about a king by the name of Asa. And it says, "And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great." Now, I don't know what kind of problem he had. I used to say he had terminal athlete's foot. I don't know. He might have been a diabetic. He might have had an infection get in his feet. I don't know what it was. It doesn't matter. But he was sick, diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. And yet, excuse me, in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. Now that's enough to tell me right there. It said he sought not the Lord, but he sought the physicians. We're not opposed to folks going to the doctor. And I'll tell you what, thank God for the doctors and nurses. If it wasn't for them, most of the Christians would have died while they was trying to figure out how to get their faith to work. Right? God's interested in healing. He desires above all things that you prosper and be in health. He wants you to get it however you can get a hold of it. But I'll tell you what, when you got too much going on for you, and when you're putting your confidence in the natural realm, it's hard to get your confidence back over here to the supernatural realm. Now, as long as you understand what the purpose of doctors and medicine, and it can help you, and for one thing, a doctor can maybe give you a diagnosis. Sometimes they get it right, and kind of help you to focus your prayers even. Sometimes it helps you to go to put the devil back in his place. Sometimes the devil is bombarding you with symptoms, and your mind gets to playing tricks on you, and you're trying to do what the Bible says and cast down imaginations and take every thought captive that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and you're just having pains everywhere. Sometimes the best thing in the world you can do is just go to the doctor, let him examine you, and say, "There ain't nothing wrong with you." And then when you go home, you feel fine. You ain't had nothing, but you feel fine. He told you, "Wasn't nothing wrong with you. You're going to live." Or he'll say, "It was just, this is what it was," and you thought, sure as the world, it was the biggie. You know? sometimes that's exactly what you need to do. It helped you get you, but the thing is, where is your confidence? See, Asa's confidence. Now, he had gone, if you go back here and read the earlier chapters of 2 Chronicles, Asa, he'd get in all these big battles, man, and it was impossible for him to win. Looked like he was going to get killed. And he knew that the only hope he had was God. He'd start crying out to the Lord, boy, and the Lord would come and deliver him and give him the victory. And then he gets the disease in his feet, and he didn't even think about checking with God about it. Now, I'll tell you something. I go to the doctor, but I hadn't been in many years to the doctor that I had not first been to the oil bottle or to the believers laying hands on me. And I had been confessing the Word of God. And you see, what's your first thought when sickness comes? Is it, "Well, I got this problem, so got to go to the doctor"? I tell you what, when you get your faith where it ought to be, your first thought is, "I better get somebody to pray for me." Now, you know, I think I mentioned this before. I erased my tape on my answering machine at the house. I wish I'd have saved it. I'd like to play it for you sometime. But sometimes we have people that they go to church, people, church members. Sometimes there are people that come off and on, and you don't know to miss them anyway. And they go to the hospital, and then they get to fussing and get offended because all the pastors didn't run up there and pray for them. And I say, "Well, did you tell anybody you was up here?" "Well, no, I thought y'all would know." I say, "Well, did you wait and see if your doctor would just accidentally come by, or did you let him know you were sick?" You know? But Brother Shue, the pastor's mentioned several times in the pulpit how we've talked to him and went to see him in the hospital. And when he got electrocuted under that house, when I say I didn't say he almost got electrocuted, he got electrocuted. He was unconscious under that house, and the, just the blessings of God, probably an angel rolled him over, or the weight of his body. But when he passed out, it pulled him away from that wire, and then he came back to again. And the electric shock was so severe, laying there on a damp ground under the crawl space of a house, that the way his shoulder got broke was that his body was, his muscles were in such a spasm that this muscle pulled two hunks of the shoulder bone off and then pulled the muscle away from the bone just from the electricity running through his body. And his heart's still working. Now, that's what usually explodes when you get something like that. But he crawled himself out from under the house and called the pastor and called my house, and I wasn't home, and put it on the answering machine and said he needed prayer. Then he got somebody to take him to the hospital. Now, I'm telling you, here's somebody made it through. I'm just not bragging on him. I'm just telling you, here's somebody that understands, got it in order. Now, don't be a dummy and your shoulders all ripped all to pieces and say, you know, well, I'm just going to wait here and see maybe what'll happen. No, you go see about it. But understand that it's God's going to heal you. And you all know that any doctor's worth anything will tell you that that I can't heal anybody. I can treat symptoms. I can prescribe some chemicals, but I can't heal anybody. Doctors know that. We got one doctor that comes here with us. He's one of the Mount Pleasant physicians, and he has to work about every other Sunday, but he comes fairly regular, and I'm not even going to tell you who he is, or you'll be going up and telling him about all your aches and pains. But his daddy told me the other day, he said, boy, my son told me the other day, he said, you know, I just love my job. I'm so blessed. He said, God heals them, and I get paid for it. So that's what this is about. That's what this roadblock is about, is just understanding to get you, focus your attention, just like you have to focus on the fact that it's God's will to heal me. You can know that intellectually. You can even know it that it's spiritual truth and not act on it on your own behalf a lot of times when things are trying to come and you get to think the devil's giving you all these negative thoughts and all these reasons why you're not going to be healed. And he reminds you of all the folks that probably served God a lot better than you did and they didn't get healed. And so you let doubt start entering in. You just have to focus back on what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says it's God's will that old Jim even be healed, right? And I have to bring myself to that. And the same thing with this business about Hezekiah didn't seek the Lord. He just totally was trusting in the physicians. That won't work. Now, go to the physicians and get your help, but your confidence, your trust, and your healing's going to come from God, right? And so what you do spiritually is far more important than what you do in the natural. Same thing is just like we talked about a while ago about eating right and looking after yourself and all that. You need to do that. You need to eat right. But the trouble is all these different doctors have got different opinions about what eating right is. One's telling you do this. One's saying don't do that. I had a friend in the Navy that he had a ringworm on his leg. And it was getting bigger and bigger. And he went to see the doctor, and in the military, you just go check in the sick call, and they just give you whatever doctor's around. And he saw this doctor, and he gave him some ointment to rub on that thing. And he said, put that on there for several days, and then come back and let us check you. So he did that. He came back in whatever how many days they told him and checked back in and saw the same doctor again. And the doctor said, well, what you been doing for it? He said, I've been rubbing this ointment here. That's the worst thing you could do for that. Now, you've had experiences like that. But thank God for the medical profession. I tell you what, we got some nurses sitting in here tonight. Boy, they angels of mercy to a lot of people and a lot of Christian people because they minister to them medically as well as ministering to their spirit at the same time. You give them the hope of God's word when they walk in the room. All right, we'll get on to some more roadblocks next week. And I'm trying to reestablish our own faith and stir it up, and at the same time maybe answer some questions that people have about some of these areas. Let's stand to our feet.